So wait, what's next with this new astrology thing?
Apparently, the Earth has moved since the zodiac was created some 3,000 years ago. So technically, we're not all we thought we were.
But why do we have a new one?
Well, apparently that one was generally ignored because they didn't like it. But the thing is, it's not like there's a replacement for it. So I don't know if like you just don't have a sign now or what.
But wait, yeah, because whatever this new one is, it's like Achalaka Shaka or something. A lot of O's. Or I'm that now.
I'm an Aquarius, apparently. I kind of like being a Pisces.
I like being a Sagittarius. Wait, what are we changing this for?
I don't know if this is official or not. That's the thing.
We can't... But we can't... Well, wait. What would the theory be of changing it? Like, now we won't get the right horoscopes.
Yeah.
Well, so wait a second.
Our made-up pseudoscience was wrong.
No. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh no. Let's change everything. People get that shit tattooed on themselves. You want to go tell somebody, like, oh, sorry. Not Sagittarius anymore.
Well, all I know is that this is, in fact, the dawning of the age of Aquarius for me.
Lame joke. Next. Hello, and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
The podcast?
Like my mouth's too wet. That's a legitimate excuse. What? You never had that happen?
I don't know.
Just shush. Let's get through this. Okay. I got a crappy PSP game to play.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for January 14th, 2011. Look at that, we missed Friday the 13th by one day again.
Ooh, thank goodness.
It seems to happen a lot. There seems to be a lot of Friday the 14th.
A lot of close calls.
Yeah. So, it's just me and Adj Guy today. Say hi, Adj Guy.
Hi.
I'm Mike, in case you forgot. So we're going to have a good show today. We're going to, maybe. I guess I'm kind of jumping the gun there. I assume it'll be pretty good.
We usually do pretty well.
Yeah, we do pretty well for ourselves. We'll start off with the MPDs and the news and stuff. I don't know if you're actually starting off with the MPDs. I assume you are, right?
May as well.
All right, then. Since we're making these judgments all snap decision-like.
Just FYI, the next Friday the 13th will be in May.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mark my calendar. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. I can't mark my calendar for
it's
Friday
already
the 13th. That's the whole point. Okay. So we'll do the news, then we got our game of the years, our 5 through 1, so,
very exciting.
We'll find out, it'll be incredibly exciting. I think this is going to be the first year since 2007, our inaugural year of the podcast, where we don't agree on game of the year. I kind of get a feeling.
Did we not agree in, oh...
Well, we'll go through the, we'll go back and say what
we'll... I don't remember.
Okay, well, I remember yours for you, so don't worry
thanks.
About it. Don't remember. This is like 3 years ago. You don't remember what your favorite game was 2 years ago? Yeah, okay.
I have 07 and 09. I don't know what I did with 08.
I can tell you what you did with 08.
Okay.
Because I remember for you.
Thank you.
It was Fallout 3. Anyways, so we'll do news. We'll do game of the year. Then we'll talk about our week in gaming. And then we'll go down to the releases. And that'll be the show, I guess, huh?
Word.
All right, let's do it. Get me going with these MPDs.
All right, so we don't have exact numbers for the hardware for December, but we do know that the 360 was the only platform to have a year-over-year increase from last year. It was the best month ever for 360 hardware sales, in fact, no doubt spurred on by the Kinect, whereas DS was the best-selling hardware of the month, giving it a total install base of over 47 million units, which now surpasses the PS2 as the best-selling console in the United States.
Jeez. That's crazy that the DS is like... In March, it's like... It's an old system.
Mm-hmm.
It's last gen.
The thing is, too, like... It's a little skewed because it is four different products.
Oh, sure. But, yeah. I mean...
Still, it's impressive.
I mean, yeah, when you think about it, I guess I've bought, like, four DSs.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because of broken L buttons.
Right, right.
That's my big thing, is I hope the goddamn L button or R button doesn't break with the 3DS. That's in March. I can't believe that, by the way.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the 3DS a little bit? Because there's that big event.
We're going to.
I'm all excited about the 3DS now.
Well, but stifle yourself.
Let's keep going.
All right.
It's in games. 3D! No, okay, keep going.
We know. Okay, December top games. We got Codblops across 360, PS3, Wii,
what?
DS, and PC. Call of Duty Black Ops.
Okay, so that's number one.
Number two is Just Dance 2. Which beats out World of Warcraft Cataclysm.
Well, I want to say this for Cataclysm. This only does physical retail.
Right, so any digital upgrades there.
And there's a lot of digital because there's that big bonus that if you download the game digitally, you would like unlock it immediately. And not bonus, but you know what I mean.
Incentive.
Let's just say that. I think there's a lot of digital buys from Cataclysm.
All right, then Assassin's Creed Brotherhood on 360 PS3.
Assassin's Creed is... I think some people don't realize sometimes how much money that series makes.
It makes a lot.
Huge.
Then Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Wow.
Followed up.
That did pretty good. Not as surprising as his next one, though.
Yeah, Epic Mickey. On the list, number six. Very good.
Wow. I mean, that's... I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, a little bit.
Even before I played the game, I kind of thought to myself... This actually isn't going to sell, is it?
Well, I mean, here's the thing I noticed working at Best Buy was people come in and they want the Mickey Mouse game for the Wii.
I mean, smart.
Especially when they'd ask me about it, I'd say, like, well, it kind of plays like Mario Galaxy if they play that. Oh, they love that. So, boom, sold.
Hey, you're a better salesman for your game than Warren Spector is. He would try to tell them, no, it's not like Mario at all.
Yeah, if I would tell... Well, actually, it's kind of an adventure platforming RPG hybrid with great... No, it's fucking Mickey Mouse running around painting shit. It's great. Go ahead, play. Yeah. Your kids will like it.
I do need to finish that. I'm glad it did well, though. How about that?
Yeah, good.
Imagine an Epic Mickey 2 that's just amazing.
I know.
So, you're surprised, though, right? A little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just got poo-pooed by the hardcore crowd, and I think, again, we're starting to get not so much about just reviews.
It still did okay review-wise. Yeah. It got, like, 80
We have to realize we're kind of getting to that point now where not every game has to be for every gamer. I mean, a lot of our personal enjoyment of that game is the fact that we're diehard Disney fans. So, that gets kind of kudos points for us for that. And, you know, if you're a kid, the concept of playing Mickey Mouse in this kind of cool world where you're spraying everything with paint is neat.
I just want to say that, you know, okay, this is third-party game, brand new franchise. Obviously, it has the Mickey name, so it helps.
Right.
But still, it had a lot of things going against it. To be the sixth best-selling game in December...
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the first time a Wii third-party title that isn't a dance or exercise game has achieved this. That's pretty good.
Right. And there's a lot of Wii games on this list. Let's keep going.
Mm-hmm. Madden NFL, 360, PS3, Wii, PS2, PSP. Michael Jackson, The Experience for Wii, DS, and PSP.
See, it's funny how these dance games really...
Oh, they're popular. They really are.
Yeah, they are.
It's kind of the new music genre, I think.
It is. I don't know if it would be as popular as that was at its height, but it probably won't burn as fast.
The good
either.
Thing, at least, is you don't have to buy a bunch of plastic peripherals.
Yeah, right, exactly.
NBA 2K11, 360, PS3, Wii, PSP, PS2, PC, which apparently is excellent. I really need to check this game out, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy to see Need for Speed Hot Pursuit at number 10 for 360, PS3, Wii, and PC.
The Wii exclusives are the ones that surprised me. Donkey Kong Country Returns, they really pushed that and said, that's our game this holiday season, and it kind of worked out for them better than I thought it would.
I played it for like 2 minutes at a GameStop, and I liked it.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to play it eventually. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, besides that, you see a lot of games that you would expect to be here, the Call of Duty, you know, the big franchises are all there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is there something missing? I'm trying to think if there's like anything noticeable, like, oh no, this game bombed.
The only thing I would say is, like, they talked about how this December was the biggest month for accessories ever. And the Kinect is included in that. But for as many Kinects sold, you don't see any really Kinect games on
the list. Well, it's like with Wii, everybody got Kinect Adventures and was kind of good with that for a while, I'm sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of any glaring omissions, really, from recent releases.
No. You know, isn't it weird that Halo doesn't have staying power that much?
Part of it, too, is it came out long ago enough that I think the people really wanted it got it by now.
I guess so. But it's just, I remember pre-Call of Duty kind of coming in and taking Halo's market share.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Halo would stick around that top 10 for a long time.
Right.
And I know we've already said these music games are dead, but neither of them are on this.
That's true, yeah.
And you think that you were there kind of hoping for a holiday rebound. Didn't happen.
Where's Tony Hawk on this list?
Yeah, that's what I want to say. Where's Shred at? Maybe they sold 2,000 units. All right, what are the top 10 for the year,
yeah,
sales-wise?
Cool. Yes. So number one's Call of Duty.
Nice, huh?
Then Madden. Then Halo. And here's what
I think I spoke too soon. It still obviously did very well for it.
Yeah, and here's what you have to remember, too, like, because NPD does the combined SKUs. So Call of Duty, Madden are on everything. But then Halo is just the 360 game, and it is the number three selling game of the year.
I think it's a little silly that, like, the Call of Duty Black Ops sales take in mind, like, the Nintendo DS version, really? Like, stuff like that. I don't know.
Here's the thing, too, with Halo. They have a little asterisk on the list. It includes all the collector's editions and everything like that, but not the copies of the game that were bundled with the Halo hardware.
Okay, I don't think that would bring it over the edge
right.
and take over just Madden, right. but sure.
Still, it did well. Then New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
You know what that reminds me of? Just New Super Mario Bros. So the DS wasn't on the top 10 for once.
Yeah, seriously.
Honestly. Actually, there wasn't really like a DS game on that top 10.
Not a DS exclusive,
You know what I mean. I mean, there haven't really been...
I feel like it was a relatively slow year for the DS.
Well, there's obviously... Everything's wrapping up with the 3DS.
Right, right. Let's see. Red Dead at number 5. Wii Fit cool. Plus at number 6. Just Dance 2 at 7.
This one's funny.
Modern Warfare 2 at number 8.
Oh, God.
Brotherhood at 9 and NBA 2K11 at number 10. So EA was probably wise to go ahead and just can NBA Elite 11.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Again, Assassin's Creed, you know, that's why they want to make Assassin's Creed a yearly franchise now. They can sell a shit ton of that game. And it's weird because it doesn't fit that sort of mold of what we think of as these games that are huge.
Yeah, it's not a shooter at all. It's not a Michael Bay film turned into a video game.
Right. And, like, maybe you can make fun of its plot, like, oh, it's kind of all silly and stuff. But, I mean, it's certainly deeper than a Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something cool there.
Yeah.
Nice to see Red Dead Redemption do really well. What is basically a new franchise.
Yeah.
I think it's almost silly people even try to call it a sequel to Red Dead Revolver.
It's not. It's its own game.
It's so, yeah, please.
But it has Deadeye. You mean Bullet Time? Wait.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't know Deadeye was in the first Red Dead.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about that one.
Yeah,
all right, what's the next story?
Next story, I got a couple things from the MMO free-to-play front. First of all, Lord of the Rings Online has announced that they've tripled their revenue since they went free-to-play.
I'm still waiting for Star Trek to go free-to-play.
I know. Well, you might get closer because Champions Online, also from Ecryptic, will go free-to-play January 25th.
Cool. Yeah, Star Trek's... Sometime this year, Star Trek's got to go free-to-play.
I think Champions going free right now is smart with DC Universe just having it released.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not a coincidence.
Yeah. All right, Nintendo, meanwhile, they are exploring the option of reprinting Super Mario All-Stars, which, like, is universally sold out. I knew it would be limited, but I thought it would be, like, fake limited, not right. actually limited.
Like, why would they want to limit it?
Yeah, I mean, when they say exploring option of reprinting Mario All-Stars, they mean exploring the option of printing money, like cash dollar
right.
bills, and just putting them in their pockets.
If you have a demand for something, make it. Don't give me this collector's bullshit.
Yeah, for...
Make video games.
For a repackage of a repackage.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Look, if people want to buy it, put it out there. God. I kind of want it just for that soundtrack.
Yeah. That's really kind of all the reason I want it. Okay. The 3DS stuff. Here you go.
Cool.
A couple things. First of all, kind of bad news. Battery life.
Mm.
They're saying with 3D on and the brightness at minimum, you get 3 to 5 hours.
Not great.
No, especially considering it takes 3.5 hours to charge.
That seems weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, don't we all just charge it overnight anyways?
Right. Then they are saying with the regular DS game, you do get 5 to 8. But that's kind of disappointing, because that always seemed like one of the hallmarks of Nintendo DS was really good battery life.
Right. Well, I mean, you know that there's going to be another 3DS eventually that'll solve this problem.
Uh-huh. Meanwhile, there will probably be, like, cases and stuff that have built-in batteries.
Yeah, there will be solutions for us to get around it. There'll be things.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's distressing, but,
They're also saying it will be region-locked, so don't think you're going to import one in February from Japan.
Oh, well.
Yep.
I mean, isn't there a decent amount of homebrew on these portable systems? Rather easily, for the most part.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if someone hacks it and gets a loader for imports anyway. Mm-hmm. They're also saying that it looks like the 3DS is going to use friend codes.
Well, they're just basing that off of Street Fighter 4.
Right.
So that would suck.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, well.
Online gaming, though, that's still not something I really do a lot on my portable systems. Or really love to do a whole lot, honestly. Like, if I do it, it's just, with friends that are just nearby, it's like Mario Kart or something. And yeah, I'll get your friend code and put it in, whatever. It's annoying, it's dumb.
Or doing, like, Street Fighter 4 would be kind of cool, like, sitting next to someone. But I don't really see doing it online with a friend,
But what they said, though, if you just go online and do a ranked match, you don't need friend codes for that.
You're just randomly playing people.
Right. So, which seems weird, because, like, what's the point of friends code then? Because that's where, like, the children would be unsafe, you know, not when playing with their friends.
Yeah.
I don't understand the philosophy behind that
there. I don't know.
But, you know, whatever. But so why are we being such a downer? Let's get to the good stuff about the 3DS.
What do you want to talk about first?
The games look pretty nice, don't you think?
Yes, they do.
I mean, look, remember you posted this video on Facebook that I liked a lot. It was called, Everything's Amazing and Nobody's Happy.
By Louis C.K. on, right. Like, appearing on Conan O'Brien.
Well, okay, let's just think about this 3DS thing, really. If you had told me in 1998 when I was playing Legend of Zelda that, you know, a little bit over 10 years, I would be playing that game with better graphics on the equivalent of a Game Boy, and it would be in 3D, my brain would have exploded.
Mm-hmm.
This is all very cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
oh,
even,
yes.
Even with, I mean, some of these lumps.
You've seen it.
Yes.
I'm a little jealous because I can't even fathom what it looks like.
Right. So, I mean, it's just all very exciting. Like, Zelda in 3D, that's really cool. Mm. Street Fighter 4.
Wait, let me take a look here. We have 8 games that are confirmed for the Japanese launch on February 26. They are Winning Eleven 3D Soccer, Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition, which actually has 2 more characters in the home console version. So.
Is it Yin and Yang, probably?
Yeah, those guys. They'll probably be DLC in Super Street Fighter 4. Samurai Warriors Chronicle, Tobidasu Puzzle Bobble 3D, Nintendogs and Cats, Ridge Racer 3D, which I'm kind of excited about, Battle of Giants Dinosaur Strike, which sounds amazing, and Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask. Now, you may be asking, where is, like, Zelda, Star Fox, all that? Nintendo, they want to kind of avoid that thing that happens with a lot of hardware launches, where you have this kind of overwhelming launch lineup, and then nothing new comes out for, like, 3 months.
Right.
So they seem to be, it almost seems to me like they could have had more stuff for launch, but they're kind of holding off to just kind of pad out the release window, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And we still don't know what our launch is going to be. So.
Right. That's the one thing. I mean, I'm kind of disappointed that our launch, which is in 2 months, we don't have a price. We don't have an exact date.
It'll come. I mean, look, whatever the price is, we're going to pay it.
I know.
I guess it's good to know how much of a hit we need to prepare for.
Yeah, seriously.
But,
That
Professor Wing is actually the 5th one, so mm-hmm. We still have to wait for the 4th. We're probably not going to play that for, like, another 2 years. Darn it.
Yeah. One cool thing, too, that the Dead or Alive game is going to do, if you turn off 3D, the game can actually then jump from 30 frames per second to 60. So, like, especially if you're one of the people who don't care about 3D, or you're, like, one of those hardcore fighting guys who count frames, you know, it's going to cater to you, which is
See,
nice.
Like, with Street Fighter, as cool as 3D will probably be at first, that's something I can see myself turning off after a while. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, like, you know, like, this is my 20th ranked online match, I can turn off the 3D now.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be cool. You know what that reminds me of? Remember how much fun it was, the Neo Geo Pocket Color? Just playing that SNK versus Capcom
that
fighting
was a,
game.
That's still my favorite portable fighting game. No right. Portable fighter's ever been as good.
Because we haven't had one with, like, a decent analog stick.
Yeah, the Neo Geo Pocket's little, like, it was an analog, but the little joystick on it was great.
It was great. It had 8 directions. It felt good. Mm-hmm. I loved that system.
I did, too. It was
that,
very
that
underrated.
Awesome port of Sonic 2.
Yeah, it did.
And that great
SNK
card game.
Yeah, that card game was, yeah.
I gotta find my
where mine is. Anyway, back to the 3DS. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
It looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
What about the PSP 2?
Well, Sony is apparently telling some of their licensees to expect the PSP 2 to be about as powerful as the PS3. I don't think they learned their lesson last time.
Right. Like, I mean, when the PSP came out, it was as powerful as their current system then.
And that wasn't... I don't think that they – like, especially – it was one thing back then when, like, they were trying to replicate the home experience on the go, but the DS proved people wanted, you know, a portable game. Then the iPhone happened, and I think people would much rather play something on the scale of like Angry Birds or Game Dev Story than a PS3 game when they're on the go. If they're going to play a PS3 game, they're going to do it at home on their PS3.
I guess it's just interesting that they don't seem to be changing their approach to the PSP2 of what we know.
Yeah.
It seems very much like the PSP2.
Yeah, what do you know?
Which, I guess, you know, Japan will be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they'll have a lot of great Monster Hunter games.
Yeah. Use the touchscreen thing on the back.
Yes. Yeah, but I still don't even understand what that means, by the way.
I don't know either.
Right. But, I mean, so presumably sometime this month we'll actually see it. I mean, it would be cool, though, to play PS3 quality games on a handheld system, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like playing an iPhone game.
Yeah.
Zing.
Oh.
I guess.
Also,
go ahead.
So, as we know, the PS3 has been violated by hackers.
Yes.
Sony's trying to fight back as best they can. First of all, they've revealed that it's possible, but they're not saying that they'll necessarily do it, that they can remotely disable a jailbroken PS3. Apparently, whenever you go online with the PS3, even if you're not using PSN, it still gets into the servers and does some checks. So they can run the check to see if you're running the modified code and shut you down. I mean, the answer to this is don't put your PS3 online, but still.
Right, yeah, if you're hacking stuff.
Yeah. Then they are threatening to, legal action against the modders. They've tried to put out, like, a cease and desist on everything. These guys are saying, like, you know, Sony's claiming, like, the Digital Millennium Act and all that stuff, and they're saying, oh, we read that too, and we think we're within our rights. We'll see if it goes anywhere.
I don't know why Sony even cares.
No, they don't want their games to be pirated. I mean, that's fair.
I guess.
It's kind of like Aliens versus Predator. No matter who wins, we lose.
But, see,
You know what this means? It means now every goddamn time I turn on my PS3, there's going to be a 45-minute long patch I have to download and install. And every week, there's going to be another...
Is that any
different? Okay, so now it's going to happen every 4 days.
Yeah. I guess the thing is just once you kind of open that door... Once the piracy starts, once you're
very hard to shut it.
Right, because if you stop these guys, then other people are going to be encouraged to step in. So, yeah, I think you can't go back now. Mm-hmm. They should be happy it took as long as it did, I guess.
Yeah, seriously.
That's kind of my look on it. Like what? Wait, we didn't break the PS3 yet? It's just been out for a while. I can't, I don't know, six. What took you guys so long? Yeah. Those hackers are slackers now.
All right. That was awesome.
Oh,
Skyrim details. Yay.
Novakin. Okay, go ahead.
Bethesda's talked a little bit about leveling in the game, which people have been curious about. Seems it's going to go a little more towards the way Fallout did leveling, not Oblivion. Oblivion's leveling the entire game world scaled with you, which kind of sucked because you'd be running into like common street thugs like decked out in Daedric armor who could still kick your ass, and you're like, what the hell? What Fallout did was when you first visited an area, it kind of locked that area to your level. And there were still some things that they could scale to be higher automatically so that they were still more challenging. So, like, you weren't supposed to go there. In theory, in Fallout, you could have run around everywhere without fighting, made the whole game level 1 to 5 and locked it that way. But, like, it's silly. but I like the leveling in Fallout, so if that's what they do, I'm fine with that.
There you go.
We got some details on things like combat. There's going to be dual wielding, not only for weapons, but for spells. And I think this is cool. Where you can have, say, a direct damage spell in your right hand and an area of effect in your left hand. Or you could equip the same spell to both hands and beef up the spell, basically. So it's like either dual wielding or two-handed wielding for spells. They're going to have, a leveling up system similar to Fallout's with, perks and everything like that. And we have some scans from Game Informer I saw. It's really hard to deign too much from it, but it does look nice.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to Skyrim.
Oh, the other thing that they said, too, is when you talk to people, it doesn't do that stupid thing where it zooms in on their face and everything in the background freezes.
Yeah, that's
conversations are going to be more natural. They're even talking, NPCs react to, everything. Like, if you drop a sword, a kid may run by and be like, "Hey, mister, you dropped this."
Sometimes that kind of stuff annoys me. I hate when I walk into town and I have my sword out because it's a video game. Everyone's like, "Oh, you got your sword out? Oh no!" I'm like, "Okay, I'll put it away."
You need to roleplay that shit, Mike.
Yeah, I guess so. well, sorry guys, I do in fact have a sword. I kill things. Maybe you. I didn't have a right to be worried. Next.
Next. Let's see. I've been kind of going out of order. Where am I?
Oh, yeah,
have you seen Capcom's latest iOS release?
Maxplosion?
Maxplosion, the side-scrolling platform game where you control a guy made out of fire in a lab who explodes to get around. Sound familiar?
That's just really weird. Yeah, obviously, rip-off of Splosion Man. But that's just really weird to see a big company like Capcom rip off of the independent guys so blatantly.
It's almost like one thing when you got like Gameloft, who's now making like an Ocarina of Time clone, and they have their Uncharted clone and their Halo clones. Like, I don't know, whatever. It's shady, but you know, it's thematic, I guess. But here's what cracks me up. I mean, Twisted Pixel, they said on their Twitter, like, okay, this is shitty. Like, way to steal our game. And then Capcom finally responded, because what people were saying was that apparently before Twisted Pixel went to Microsoft to public Explosion Man, they talked to Capcom, and they passed. So everyone's, like, calling shenanigans and everything. Here's, like, Capcom's official response is basically, look, this is Capcom Mobile. They're different from us. And they're saying that they didn't know about Explosion Man when they came to us. So, yeah, this is it's not a big deal.
Isn't it still...
It still came out. Everyone, right. We're not saying you had inside information. We're saying you saw Explosion Man. I'm like, hey, we can make that. And then, you know, the shitty thing about it is Twisted Pixel's like, well, we're not going to sue them. They're Capcom. They're a lot bigger than us.
Right. That's not a winning battle.
Right. And so I like what they said, too. Plus, they made Mega Man, so we'll give them a pass.
They made Mega Man, but they won't put him in their fighting game.
Yeah.
It's better.
It's really shitty of them.
It is pretty bad. There's going to be more to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because Capcom has a pretty big, like, public face now. They can't get away with doing shit like this.
Yeah.
There'll be consequences. Seth Killian will pay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we'll make him pay. Next.
Microsoft. Probably should have brought this up sooner. They're saying they would have sold even more Xboxes, but they were supply-constrained in December, which I could believe, because we were sold out of the damn things a lot.
Good for them. I'm very proud of them. Good job, guys.
Final story. Mass Effect 2, when it comes out on the PS3 on the 18th, will also be available on the PSN.
Whoa. That's got to be a pretty big download.
Huge.
But, I mean, I think PS3s have, like, 250 gigabyte hard drive these days?
Yeah, that's... It made me think of something the other day, or today rather, when I was like trying to figure out like how Kinect helped move the Xbox, and the move, we don't know really if it did much for PS3. Because the thing I think that was smart with the Kinect is that Microsoft bundled it with both of the systems, the hard drive one and the one that's just the 4 gigs. The move bundle, which you think is going to go towards the more casual crowd, was only with the 320 gig hard drive, which made it the most expensive SKU possible.
Right.
Don't you think they should have put it with the 160s and made it like 50 or 75 bucks cheaper?
Yeah, I guess so. Make a point.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
I'm done.
You're all done?
Indeed.
Did you see... You know, I kind of wanted to bring this up real quick. You know that how Interplay wants to make that Fallout MMO?
Mm-hmm.
And they're having a hard time of it from
Bethesda, right?
Yeah. I feel like Bethesda's trying to do him a favor.
Yeah, it's like, listen.
Guys, that's not
going to... You don't want to do this.
Guys, your studio's just... No, you don't want to make an MMO. That won't sell. Anyways, okay, I guess we can move on then to our game of the year.
Oh, boy.
So we've been doing this since 2007.
Yes.
We did top five before we each pick our game of the year. 2007, I said Bioshock, and you said Orange Box.
Correct.
Okay, 2008. We both said Fallout 3.
Yes.
You forgot, apparently.
I remember now.
You remember now. Then we said, and last year we said Uncharted 2.
Yes.
So, okay.
That was pretty easy.
Yes, it was. I guess I'll start. I'll give the last word to you.
Okay.
So my number five pick is Split Second.
Ooh.
Which is probably my new favorite racing game ever.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that whole dynamic. Knocking things down, blowing shit up into other people. That real little, it just nails that sort of Bruckheimer Hollywood car chase aesthetic with the music, the presentation, everything about it.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember when the game was like first being talked about, everyone was like, oh, it's going to get repetitious because it's just the same trigger points every time. But it really didn't somehow. No. It's very impressive.
It is. Well, that'd be same.
Because I'll tell you, I mean, what it is, there's an, you know what's going to happen, but there's like an anticipation to it. Like knowing I need to hit all of these turns so I can build up my destruction meter to full level so that I could knock down the air traffic control tower and pull that off.
And there's still timing to it all, which is important. It's got a good campaign, surprisingly. I'm always a sucker for these. Oh, it's a TV show. Which is being done a little bit too much lately, I think we talked about.
Yeah.
Almost everything's like, oh, you're in a TV show where you kill people or you hit each other. It's like, oh, everything's Death Race now. So what's your number five pick?
My number five is Halo Reach.
Oh, very nice.
It's probably my favorite Halo.
It's my favorite Halo. It's the only Halo I actually beat, which is weird.
You never beat one? I thought
no.
you did.
No. Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, great campaign. Multiplayer is excellent. Looks good. Tons of options to it. I've talked about it. I like it.
There's still things that bug me about it. I still think the story's pretty lame. Uninspiring. I hate the fade to black between the cutscenes and the gameplay. When other games, which probably with probably smaller budgets, don't have that problem. Weird things like that. But I really liked its multiplayer. I'm kind of disappointed that all my friends moved on to Call of Duty because I'd rather be playing Halo Reach online.
I still play Halo, Mike.
Yeah, we'll have to like go through this campaign on co-op sometime for kicks or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My buddy Bill finally got the game. He wants to do the campaign too, so maybe we could all get something going.
Yeah, there you go. My number four pick is World of Warcraft Cataclysm.
Oh, you're one of those people who say it like that. I hate that.
That's not how you say it. I just like saying it.
This guy at work does it. It drives me nuts because he says it every time and he thinks he's funny when he does it every time.
All right. I'm sorry to upset you. My number four pick is World of Warcraft Cataclysm.
Thank you.
You better now. God, I play this game a lot. I play it every day. My hand hurts from the carpal tunnel. The cramps.
The thing is, you're not making that up.
No. Actually, that was a problem I had like a month ago. My hand feels pretty good now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. My hand was really hurting me for a while. Anyways, but we've been very recently singing the praises of Cataclysm. I'm stopping myself from saying Cataclysm. Did you see the video where that came from?
No.
It's like some girl is like doing her like review for Cataclysm. I think she doesn't know she's doing it. She says Cataclysm like 50 times. It's always funny.
That's great.
But it's a very good expansion. It's probably the best expansion pack ever made for a game. Would you deny?
I mean, the only contender that could possibly be there is Diablo II: Lord of Destruction. So I think Blizzard has a lock on that.
Yeah, Blizzard usually does pretty well.
Did you see this little thing too in the NPD email? This is pretty funny. PC game dollar sales were up 62% in December, led by sales of World of Warcraft Cataclysm expansion pack for 2010. New physical PC game sales. StarCraft II: Wings of Liberty and World of Warcraft Cataclysm are the best-selling games, representing 14% of total PC game unit sales for the year. Blizzard controlled 14% of the entire PC gaming market with two games.
That's almost not even surprising at this point. Oh, geez. So, yeah, that's my number four. What's yours?
All right. My number four is Split Second.
Hey. You liked it slightly better than me.
Me too. Yes, I did. I love Split Second. It's awesome.
That's great. I guess we kind of talked all about it.
Yeah.
Look at that. You put Split Second ahead of Halo. Take that, Halo.
I know, right?
Pachoo, pachoo.
I thought about that for a long time, and I was like, no, this is where it goes.
That's right. That's right. All right. My number three. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, we're getting there, man.
Oh.
This is the cream of the crop at this point on. This is the... It's all close from here on.
Mm-hmm.
This is the something of the somethings. Super Mario Galaxy 2 is my number three.
All right.
Which was
what I thought.
Yeah, you have me scouted out from here on.
Yeah, I know what you're doing.
Super Mario Galaxy 2, probably the... It's definitely the best 3D platformer ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best Mario game ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Super Mario World. Mm-hmm. Has more creativity, better level design than any game I can think of in recent memory, almost.
And Yoshi.
And it has Yoshi. And an awesome soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Does almost nothing. It almost looks at least five times better than any other Wii game.
I know. I still can't. I mean, the first Galaxy did that as well. Like, I can't understand why no one else can make a Wii game that looks as good as Galaxy.
And that's like one of the things when I'm playing. I've been thinking, like, why does this game look so bad? Why are these graphics so terrible? Why do these textures look like puke? Yeah, Super Mario Galaxy 2 just looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. I never understand that.
Yeah.
Like some other Nintendo games, like Donkey Kong Country Returns looks pretty good, yeah. I guess. But, you know, they got their thing. Kirby, obviously. So, yeah, Super Mario Galaxy 3. I mean, 2 is my number 3.
Yes.
Do you think we'll get a Super Mario Galaxy on the 3DS?
That'd be awesome.
Would it
God,
be
that'd
cool?
be so awesome.
I think it'll happen.
I hope so.
I think it's going to happen. I hope we don't just get another new Super Mario Brothers 2D.
I mean, even if it's just Galaxy ported to the 3DS, I think I'd be okay with that.
Oh, you know what 3DS game I'm looking the most forward to, kind of off topic, is Paper Mario.
Mm.
Paper Mario 2 on the GameCube, one of the best games ever. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Okay, what's your number 3?
Cataclysm.
Cataclysm.
But yeah, it's awesome. Enough said.
I guess so.
Guess what I was doing today and yesterday and the day before?
Playing Cataclysm?
Leveling my brand new Worgen Druid, which, by the way, the Worgen starting area, now that I finished it, awesome. Druids, never played one before, amazing.
Oh, man, I'm so...
Like, might be my new favorite class.
I only need 75 or so more tokens to get my awesome mount that I want. Drake of the West Wind.
You know what's really sweet with the Worgen? I didn't know this. When you ding level 20, you just get your running wild in the riding. Like, you don't have to go train riding. You don't have to train a skill. You just get it.
I remember when, like, being able to have him out at all was, like, the ultimate vanity prize. And, wow. When he first came out. And I was just like, this is let people go fast. All right.
What is your number 2?
My number 2 is Mass Effect 2.
Yes.
Which was... what can we say about Mass Effect 2 anymore? Exceeded all my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
An incredibly good-looking game. Probably the best hybrid game I can think of.
Yeah.
By that I mean, like...
A shooter that's still an RPG.
Right, very much. And it very much balanced those two concepts almost flawlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even, like, with stuff like when you would beat a level and it would take you, like, you win the mission screen. Like, it still worked somehow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, all that screen was you don't have to backtrack, not fighting anything, to go back to where you were so that we can now show you this cutscene. We're just going to take you. It's fine. listen, you walked backwards and nothing happened.
Yeah, it's nice that you didn't have to backtrack so much because of all that.
It was very streamlined. There's very few moments in that game where something cool is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And what's notable to me about it is how they took a game with Mass Effect 1 that was excellent, and you're trying to think...
Mass Effect was okay. It was good.
And you're trying to think, like, how are they going to improve on this for the sequel? And you start thinking to yourself, well, they're going to logically do this, logically do that. And they just, like, went off to the side somewhere and improved it in ways that you didn't even think of.
They found problems in the game you didn't know existed.
Yeah, and then you play the second one, you're like, oh, God. Like, where was this all my life? This is amazing.
That's why I'm happy this comic is coming out with the PS3 version. Because there's people I really want to play Mass Effect 2, but I don't think they'll like Mass Effect 1. So
and
I'd
you
be
need
like,
to play that really, like, to get the full thing.
Mm-hmm. I'd be like, well, yeah, you can just do this comic.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's notable, too, is, I mean, this has been promised so many times, but this is the first series that's doing the epic trilogy where everything carries over and it actually all works out. Like, they did it.
No game comes close to, like, the bridging of a... like, the first one to the sequel with, like, character choices and all that. Also, just so many great characters in the game. Morden and Archangel.
Thane.
So, a lot of great characters. Very memorable cast.
And like I said, too, it's my favorite piece of DLC ever with Lair of the Shadow Broker.
All right, what's your number 2?
My number 2 is Red Dead Redemption.
Did you beat it yet?
No.
I know.
Ask me that.
That's... I'm mildly upset about that, but go ahead.
I know. But, I mean, Red Dead is just amazing. It's the first open-world game that I think I've truly liked. I think other open-world games in the past, I've been like, okay, this is neat, or it's fun to play around in. But I've never really gotten too far into them. And I mean open-world action game. RPGs are obviously a little bit of a different beast.
Well, yeah. Well, when you say open-world game, people, they know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But,
I think we call open-world RPG games just Western RPGs.
Right. But, like, it just its story worked in the confines of like the open world. Like you had the freedom to go everywhere, but still follow the story well. The acting in the game is fantastic. The graphics are gorgeous. Everything just looks right, and it's a Western, which gives it automatic bonus points. And the thing, like, I think the thing that this year spoiled me on that was started with, like, games like Uncharted and, you know, Mass Effect and Red Dead have done this to me. I'm now getting to the point where I'm getting to find it unacceptable to have bad acting in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, these people are doing it. Get some actors. Like, it can be done.
Can I step in here? Go. Obviously, my number one is Red Dead Redemption. That's my game of the year.
My number one's Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
There. We cut that out of the way.
We weren't surprising anybody.
No.
But, yeah, Red Dead Redemption was just the... It was the open world game that finally delivered on the promises of that genre for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people have always kind of been on board the Grand Theft Auto thing. That never worked for me.
The problem is, Grand Theft Auto... You could do things in Grand Theft Auto because of its gaminess that just you I guess you could do in real life, but you wouldn't. Like there's no let me put it this way: the consequences don't align in Grand Theft Auto. If you go on a driving spree where you run down a bunch of people, the cops aren't going to look for you for a few minutes and then just give up. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like there was no consequence to your actions in that game. But in Red Dead, I mean, if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you shoot a guy, no one's going to really know about that.
Right. Like, the harsher reality of the West really worked for that genre. Everything, mm-hmm. like, it ended up being such a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is, like, when you get into, like, a big urban center, you know, you can't make that game world completely fleshed out because you can't render the interior of every building and have every citizen doing something really interesting. But I mean, Red Dead, because it's, you know, smaller scale, you could go into every building, people are going around doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt more alive because it had less to it.
Right. But the big thing for me in that game was just the character John Marston.
Oh, he's awesome.
That was so well acted, so well written, so likable, and so... You root for him, you feel for him, in like a way you really don't for most characters. As much as I love Drake, Nathan Drake on Uncharted, and like the writing in that series, it's all fun. It's all kind of fluff in a way. It's mm-hmm. not really a great story. It's, you know, the story is Nathan Drake's got to go get some treasure, and he does. That's fun. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of thing you can't appreciate because you don't really know the whole arc. But Red Dead Redemption has an amazing story.
Right. I mean, I think I talked about this, but the moment that, I mean, I already knew I liked John Marston, but the moment that I was like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for character writing in a game. And it's the stupidest thing. But there's a scene early on in Mexico where you're talking with these guys trying to find somebody. And the guy, the general you're talking to says something like, you don't go find him, he finds you. And then Martian just says, yeah, like cholera. And just the four guys around his table just laugh at the joke. And it just felt so natural and not forced. And I'm just watching the scene, and I'm chuckling too. And I'm like, this is working for me. Finally, someone is getting this right.
I just love that. Like, instead of, like, the usual rock star dick and fart jokes. And,
yeah, they finally took sleepless women seriously.
And stuff. I love that you walk by, like, all the whores and stuff, and Marston's like, sorry, ladies, I'm married.
Yeah,
like,
that was
what?
Great. That was so great.
What? He has more. He has legitimate morals.
Well, and part of that, too, is they didn't give you complete control of the character. It's still a character that has to fit with this narrative, and there are defining rules of that character.
I love that they made it easy for me to play good. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm wrong. I think everyone wants to play a good character. I guess I'm wrong, because that's not the case, but I still don't understand how you can ever appreciate... Like with Knights of the Old Republic, what's the story of that game if you're bad? The story is that you were this evil guy who got a restarted life, and he became bad again anyways. That's not a story. Mm-hmm. That's stupid. Yeah. What does that say about anything? Like, oh, you know, well, we're all destined to repeat our actions. That's no. A great fun story is, you know, you're evil and you repent. And that's kind of, you know,
the redemption story.
Yeah, you know,
Red
very much.
Dead Redemption. What well, do you know?
Exactly. That's why I'm just glad that they finally, like, you know what? We're sacrificing way too much here by, like, oh, you can do good or bad. And a lot of games still do that for me. They sacrifice too much to do that kind of stuff, and they can't pull it off that way. Mm-hmm. And it really, clearly it makes sense, and clearly the game's designed to play one way. So I'm just glad that, I mean, basically the game was hitting the whole time. Yeah, John Marston's a pretty good guy, so if you're going around killing everybody, you're probably not doing it entirely right.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I love that. And, you know, Mass Effect 2, I guess we all talked about how much we like that, so there we go.
Yeah.
We disagree, so we're going to have to fight this out,
oh,
I guess.
No.
We can't, what do? We have to cut, I mean, I got this massive diamond-crusted award to hand out to the winner, AJ. We don't have one. I got to cut it in half.
I guess so.
They get to put half of, like, the sticker on their Game of the Year editions. They'll have to fight over it. It's funny, though, because it seems to be the way most people are leaning. They're either giving the award to Red Dead Redemption or Mass Effect 2.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as just quality experiences in every regard, from audiovisual, storytelling, gameplay, I mean, those two games, I mean, you know, I put Mass Effect over Red Dead, but I mean, it's not too much difference here.
No, it's not very far from me either. And when I played Mass Effect 2, actually, I didn't say this to you, but when I played it, after I played it, I'm like, well, that's my game of the year right there.
Right.
Nothing's going to beat that. That was incredible. Mm-hmm. So it says a lot that Red Dead Redemption surprised me and delighted me as much as it did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and here we are in 2011. What's the next? What's the first big release? Dead Space?
Maybe,
Here we go. Here we go again.
Hey!
Woo! Party time. Well, the weird thing about this year was just how a lot of the best games came out in the first half of the year. My top three came out before September.
Yeah, that's true. They came out before June.
Yeah. Weird. All right. What, have you been playing anything interesting this week? I've kind of been playing the same things.
Well, I mentioned my adventures in Cataclysm. I did to have something to talk about. I made sure to sit down for an hour with Vanquish this evening, actually.
Oh, I didn't get to play. I haven't got to play that yet. How was it?
Okay.
Because I figured this is going to be a hard sell for you.
Actually, so far, I really like it.
Wow.
Like, really like it.
You like a Japanese game.
I know. Well, here's the thing. The story and the writing in this game make 10 shitloads sound like Shakespeare.
Well, you know? Yeah.
Like, there's the whole conceit. Well, let me give you the setup for the story here, because I was pretty in the dark about all this. Basically, it's set in the future.
Of course.
We're at war with, not the Russians, but this guy who stages a coup in Russia and then tries to attack the world. In the name of Russia.
Okay.
He gets his hands on a giant orbital microwave beam. Cool. And the opening cutscene of the game is him literally cooking San Francisco. I mean, you see it, like, street level. People running around the street going, like, oh my god, my flesh, and then their heads explode. It's kind of gross. I'm not going to lie. It was a little disturbing.
Poor San Francisco. That's what you get, you filthy liberals.
Yeah.
That's what you get living in sin with all of your butt sex.
Okay.
Yes, I went there.
So then, of course, now it's the whole...
I love gays.
Okay. Stop talking. You know, then you see the speech by the president, who's a woman, giving the whole...
Oh, see, now it's all okay.
Yeah. We will not give in to their demands.
No matter how many of our cities they cook.
Well, they're threatening to now do the same thing to New York.
Oh,
unless we give our unconditional surrender to Russia. So, of course, now all the space marines are hoorahing up in space, saying, we're not going to let that happen. Am I right, marines? Hoorah! And all that. You are the guy from DARPA in the experimental suit, and you're going to go kick some ass.
This sounds like a great setup to me.
Well, you see, now there's the guy who's got the bionic arm, who's the old grizzled veteran, who for whatever reason doesn't like you.
See, this is what I love. This sounds like, this is kind of classic Japanese, but I like it. When they try to duplicate, like, the Hollywood blockbuster.
And
like, they just
exactly
watch all of them,
this
like,
is.
What do they like in the West? They like... like war in these grizzled old guys. It's in the new recruit. Oh, it's gonna be great. Clearly defined evils. Whole cities being cooked. I don't know where they got that from, actually. That's pretty fucking weird.
Then, of course, there's the flashback to the professor who invented it, like sending a message to you and your operator, who's like, they've gotten their hands in my microwave beam, and I've never intended it for this use. What the fuck else are you going to do with a giant microwave gun in space than cook cities?
Cook cities? It is a microwave. let's see. You could melt the polar ice caps faster.
What good could come of that?
I guess if an asteroid came along.
But it's pointed at Earth.
Well, you can't you turn it around?
The wrong way. I don't know.
I hope the last level of the game you're just like, it's like one of those turret levels in any other shooter, but it's this giant microwave, and you're like targeting Russia. It's like, yeah, get him. Like, it's like, just like something from Modern Warfare, but it's Russia.
I would not be surprised if that's what happens, actually.
It's like, you're like, gosh, here's their targets, and you're like, put like a little circle so you know. Mm-hmm. You know which ones you have to microwave.
But, you know, it's great, too. You got, like, the scene where, you know, this grizzled old veteran is looking at you and you're smoking your cigarette and acting all cool.
Of course.
Now the blue, he just takes a shot at you, like, tries to punch you, and, like, you duck and it cuts the cigarette in half. And then they kind of brawl for a second.
Awesome.
And then you get the, what the fuck, man? No smoking on the ship.
Awesome.
You're like, oh, come on.
Yes. Yes. But tell me about the gameplay. How's the gameplay?
Now, the gameplay is fantastic. It does the... This has got to go, because Metroid did this, too.
Okay,
we're gonna put you in a sterile white room with some drones, and we're going to go through all the controls step by step.
Well, you're testing the suit.
Yes. That's exactly what it is, too. It's like, can that cliche please die?
Yeah, you
so
know.
So I'm in my room.
It's kind of hard to think of like a more... It's trying to be an organic way of doing a tutorial.
Yeah. I mean, Half-Life does it. That was 2004. Let's learn from them.
Yeah, it's weird, because like in Metroid and other games, you usually get... You don't have to do these things except like one at a time anyways.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
And, you know, of course, there's an achievement if you do it all, so...
Hey, well, don't you feel better then?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but... So once the game finally gets going, which takes a good 20 minutes...
Basically, as do all games.
This is how it plays. Take Gears of War. Remove the roadie run, but instead strap some ankles to or some rockets to your ankles, so that when you like crouch down on your knees, you do like a power slide kind of thing, like a rock star, zooming from cover to cover. It's very fun because you know how I'm very into like fun locomotion in a game.
Wait, this, no, what do you mean?
Like, I like games where you have cool ways of moving around.
Okay.
Like, that's why I like Assassin's Creed so much.
Right.
This is a very fun way to move around. You just zip around all over the place. It's very cool.
Right. That's kind of like the big focus, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the draw.
And then the other cool thing they'll do is, like, the game's... It has, like, you know, the auto-regenerating health. When your health's getting really low, it automatically snaps into, like, a bullet time to give you a chance to kind of save yourself.
Oh, cool.
Or you can manually activate the bullet time by, like, dodging and aiming down the sights at the same time. Excuse me. I went as far as the first boss fight, which was actually really cool. It's like, you know, this giant spider robot that transforms into a walker. There's a QTE. But it's really good. And I'll say this, too. The game is gorgeous.
Really?
It looks really good. It's got some really nice, like, depth of field and motion blur effects to make everything look pretty. Everything's animated really well. It's very fast-moving, fast-paced. I mean, aside from some of those Japanese-isms, like, it does do the damn... score screen at the end of each chapter and all that
stuff.
Didn't
we just say that Mass Effect 2 does that?
Huh? Yeah, but Mass
Effect... I mean, oh, well, but what
no,
about
no,
Mass Effect
no, let me
2?
Say, I mean, Mass Effect 2 did it at the end of a level after everything was done, and then when that ended, you were back on the ship. This, like, literally, you're walking down a hallway and a screen pops up, and then you push A, and then you keep going down the hallway.
Eh.
It just breaks the flow.
Yeah, if you say so. That doesn't sound like a big deal to me.
It's not a huge deal. It's just annoying to me.
But, you're annoying to me, so...
I know.
I put up with you.
Oh, shucks. So, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Sounds fun. I'll have to play it, hopefully soon. Did you play anything else?
I don't think so.
Oh, well,
Did I? Hang on.
Well, I'm not going
to... Oh, you know what? I realized there's a game I played a while ago, and I don't think I talked about it.
It's
very
good
to.
If we're digging it out from the past.
It's Wrecketeer.
Ugh, I never heard of that. Let's not talk about
it. No. It's worth talking. That's that game Pete's been going on about that he got on Steam. The one where you play, like, the owner of an item shop in an RPG.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah. I played the demo. It's actually pretty good. I don't think it's one that I'd want to play beyond the demo because of my personal taste, but I could see where, especially people who like dungeon crawls, I mean, like old school, randomly generated dungeon crawls would enjoy it.
Why, is there dungeon crawling?
Yeah, well, you have two options of how you get your stuff. You could straight up play it as, like, buying and reselling things from, you know, the shops and towns and the guild and everything like that. But you could also hire adventurers to go into dungeons, and you kind of follow them around, and you get, like, a cut of what they take because you fund their expedition.
Do you actually play as the adventurer, though?
Yeah, and it's kind of like a standard hack and slash, like, Zelda kind of thing.
Huh, neat.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, sounds cool. Mm-hmm. Nice idea. I really don't have anything worth talking about, or that I could talk about.
So we'll talk about Warcraft. No, we'll play Warcraft. I'm playing Warcraft right now in my mind.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Warcraft. But I ran a dungeon, actually. This is kind of interesting. I ran one of the five-mans, like, on the Heroic, which they're a lot harder now than they were before. This dungeon was, like, 4 hours long, and it was a five-man. Wow. It was, like, 3 hours, okay, without exaggeration. It was really long. A little too long. I guess that was the long one. But by then, I'm like... See, it's like whenever it's like stuff like that happens, and I know it's the end of the game stuff, but it's like I felt bad about myself that I had the time to do that.
Well, see, this is why I don't like hearing that stuff so long. The reason I don't do dungeons is because I always feel like even if they are shorter, I feel like it is going to be 3 hours. But if I don't know I have 3 hours, like I won't do it.
Exactly.
Because like I'll think like, well, what if something comes up? I have to leave, or I get a phone call, and it's like, well, I'm playing all these other people. I can't just pause it and.
Exactly. Yeah. It's hard to be in a place where it's like, yeah, there's no way I need to do anything in the next 3 hours. I can't imagine. Whenever I hear about a parent who raids, that blows my mind. How does that happen?
About a what?
About a parent who raids.
Oh, yeah. No, like, I actually...
Like, no offense to anyone who does it. I'm not condemning you. I'm just wondering how it works.
I had a husband-wife come to Best Buy today. They had to replace a broken computer. And the husband's like, so, pick up Cataclysm? No! Okay, two copies. We could both play. No, we canceled our accounts and we're not playing it again. We have children now, and I was just kind of laughing.
Right. Oh, catastrophe.
You really need to stop that.
or else what?
Or else, yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Whoa.
Oh, right. I forgot about the crappy new releases. Actually, there's some stuff that came out this week that I really want to get.
Yeah.
That we'll talk about. Actually, one of them I am getting, courtesy of the Bitmobs. Let's see. Well, DC Universe Online came out, PS3 and PC.
Chris was like, he texted me debating between the two versions, but then ended up just getting Kingdom Hearts.
Right, which is kind of funny. It's weird, because he didn't beat the other Kingdom Hearts yet. I saw him. It's interesting that actually came out on PS3. Ghost Trick, Phantom Detective for the DS. Man, do I want to get that.
I have to admit, I don't know a lot about the game. I just know everybody's really hot for it.
Basically, it's a point-and-click adventure by the Phoenix Wright guys.
Oh.
So, you should probably be into that.
That sounds rocking.
Yeah.
Isn't it coming out to iPhone as well?
Is it? I do not know
That's what I heard, and it's only going to be like $10.
Whatever, I want the DS version. Yeah, okay. But I really want that. Kingdom Hearts Recoded for the DS. Kingdom Hearts, again. This is a port of a what was an episodic mobile game in Japan like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It's an enhanced port, I guess.
Right. So. They redid it. It's all from scratch.
Right. But still, it is that. Kingdom Hearts 3, it ain't. Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, it ain't. It probably ain't even Kingdom Hearts however days over 2 days. Spellforce 2, Faith and Destiny for the PC.
Okay.
I don't have faith in it.
Hey.
Drakensang? The River of Time. It's the prequel to the German RPG Dark Eye Drakensang.
I think Drakensang.
Draken. Like the bad guy from Kim Possible.
Oh, okay.
Why would you think I was going to
say? I thought you were going to say Kraken or Kraken.
No. Venetica for the PS3 and 360. Yeah. Nothing to say about that one. Fairy. They spelled fairy wrong. Legends of Avalon. For PC. Well, they did. There's no E in fairy. F-A-E-R-Y. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. Yeah.
Majesty 2, Monster Kingdom for the PC.
The final expansion set for Majesty 2.
Well, there you go. How many have there been?
I don't know.
Zeit. Z-E-I-T 2 for the PC. And Xbox Live Arcade. It's a side-scrolling action game with a twist of time travel elements.
All right. Now, this I didn't know they were making, and the title is hilarious.
Prinny 2, Dawn of Operation Panties, dude.
Dude spelled D-O-O-D, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, that's how the Prinnies talk. It's a sequel to Prinny, I Can Be the Hero, or something. People are a little yes. tough on this game, though. They say it's, like, too hard, not in a fun way. And then... Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and say it. That's it. 101-1 Sports Party Mega Mix for the Wii need not be brought up.
You just brought it up.
No.
You've created a nexus of evil.
Yes, as if there's any other kind. All right. it's one of those good nexi. Nexi. We're a nexus of good people. Oh, my God. Usually when I hear nexus, I'm like, oh, not this again. With the axis of happy friends. I want to hug you. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com and on the iTunes Music Store and the Zoom Marketplace. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. I guess that's it. We'll see you next week.
That's it.
What's that?
That's it.
Yes, it is.
I'm disagreeing with you.
Thanks for jumping in there.
Sure.
You can see us next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.
Cena is free!
Cena is fired, Agile Guy.
Oh.